today, if you'd turn with us, and we'll gonna talk just a little bit, and then I'll read our text. But I want to give just a little bit of background, give plenty of time for preaching this morning, and just a few things that I want to share. It's found over in Joshua chapters number 5. But before we get there, I want to give just a little background of where we've been in the book of Joshua. A lot of Bible scholars will say that the book of Joshua is like the book of Ephesians that's in the New Testament, that it shows where we are in Jesus or in Joshua. I sure am glad that I've been able to find some truths in the Word of God. And in Joshua 1, verse 1, remember this statement? Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, My servant is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. We talked about Moses and him missing the blessing in the promised land. I am convinced that there's a lot of people that are going to miss what God really has for them over in the promised land. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've came out of the Passover by the blood of the Lamb. And their sins have been forgiven, but they still play around on the edge of the world. They never do cross over into Canaan land and enjoying the good things that God has for them. And then, not only do we see the missed blessing of the promised land when Moses died, but when Moses died, the Lord sent something a lot greater than Moses. And that was our heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's nothing wrong with the law today. As Brother David has already stated the fact of our county, how liberal the laws have gotten. The law of Moses said if you killed, you would be killed. And therefore they would stone you and take you out of the camp. And there's nothing wrong with the law today. The law could not take us into the promised land. You know why? Because we could not live the law. Now there's some good people here today, but I hope you'll never get caught up on how good you are, because when we really read the statement of the law, we see really how short that we become. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. It tells us not to have any gods before us. And there's many things that the great commandments tell us, and you see, the law couldn't save us. But it could show us that we needed saved. And that's why a man needs to preach the Word of God that's right. And we don't apologize about the law of God, because it's true. And it's proper and it's perfect. But we're imperfect. And so I sure am glad that what the law could not do, He sent Jesus to take over, to get us over into our Jordan. I want to say this morning, I'm glad I've trusted Jesus to be my Savior. I was taught as a young person to live by the law. All I ever heard was do this, do that. I never did hear a message about the gospel and it was already done. But I'm glad at Calvary He's done everything that ever take us to get us to heaven. And so therefore, we've seen the missed blessing, but then we've seen the mighty bridge to the promised land. I sure am glad that Jesus can get you over your Jordan this morning. And then we've seen this mighty book. Man, what a great book we have. He said, if you'll just study and learn this book and live in this book, the only time is ever mentioned in the whole Bible, the word success. He said, thou shalt have good success. I tell you, if you're successful in this life, if you're saved and ready to meet God, how much more successful could you be? You can earn every pedigree that's known unto man. You can go to Harvard and you can go there all your life and be an educated idiot. But if you know that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life,
I don't know of any greater success that anybody would ever have than to know that you were saved. So there was the mighty book. And then we seen some things that as they went on over into Jordan, we talked about the muddy banks. Boy, it had overflowed all of Jordan's banks at harvest time. It was hard to get across. There are some Jordans in our life that is hard to get across. But this morning in chapter 5, it picks up that the Bible in Joshua 4, the Bible said the people had went clean over Jordan and they've landed now. And now God gives them three things before they go to Jericho. They're encamping in close quarters to Jericho, and God is going to allow them to see the walls fall down flat. But before they have great victories over in the land of Canaan, and by the way, there are a lot of battles in the land of Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. There's a lot of battles where me and you live. I battle my flesh. I battle the world. I battle the devil. But aren't you glad that there's a place called heaven that's going to fix everything one bright and glorious daybreak? But until we get to heaven, there's going to be some battles in our life that we got to understand that we cannot win nor face alone. There's some battles in my life right now that it's going to take God to allow the walls to fall down flat. And He said it's three things in Joshua 5 that you need to go in three steps of preparation before God will ever give you victory. There's a lot of you're trying to get victory in your life. But before you'll ever take Jericho, it's three things that you need to remember this morning. Number one, now Joshua 5 and verse number 1. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Joshua chapter number 5. I've about preached out this week, Brother Will. Turn me up so I don't have to strain so bad. Amen. I like loud preaching. And since you lost an hour last night, I know you need a loud preacher. Joshua 5. Thank you, Brother Will. That's great. The Bible said, verse 1, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, the kings of the Canaanites that were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Boy, isn't it amazing that God can do things before you even get there that you don't even know nothing about. Matter of fact, there's a lot of you wondering how you're going to get through something that's facing you. You just ought to be praying that God will go in down there and do something before you get there. He had melted the hearts of the kings. He had scared them to death because he heard God's people was a-coming across. I don't know what happened to that in God's country, but I wish you'd get back to people go to fearing the things of God this morning. You can be seated. I can tell right now I'm going to run rabbits a little while today. Wouldn't it be a blessing that the people of the land would fear God and God's people? Boy, Brother Driver, look how things have changed in the last 30 and 40 years. Boy, you talking about if we've ever lost the fear of God in America, it is this morning. It is amazing how now that people will make more over dolphins and dogs and hogs and pigs than they will the right of human life. I seen the tree huggers this morning that called somebody out because they're being cruel to dolphins. Amen. Well, you get cruel to a dog or a cat, they'll lock you up. But you can kill a young'un and they don't do nothing to you. This world's gone crazy. We've lost the fear of God in our country. They'll come behind our church and do their dope and deal their drugs and throw out their beer cans on the property. There's no fear of God in this country or in this community today. Oh, I wish the fear of God would get back in the land. The Bible said that He melted the hearts of the king And maybe the reason it's no more fear of God, maybe it's because it's not been many Jordans crossed, not many Christians really relying upon the hand of God to do great and mighty things in their lives anymore. It may be the Christians have blended in with the world, and the world can't take any difference between a Christian and a worldling. So their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore. You know why? Look in chapter 5, verse 1, because of the children of Israel. I wonder, would anybody fear God because of the testimony you've got? I wonder, would anybody know that you were serving God and they'd be shook up on your job because of what God had done for you? We find in verse 2, in that time the Lord said to Joshua, I want you to make sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Joshua made him sharp knives, and he did that ordinance to the children of Israel. In verse 4, and this is the cause why he did do it. Because all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. And all the people, in verse 5, that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth of Egypt, they had not been circumcised. And the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord unto whom the Lord sware that He would not show them. Now He said in verse 7, He said, and their children whom He raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they was uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Came to pass when they had done this ordinance, all the people, they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole or made well. Verse 9. Don't forget this verse, it's very powerful. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Now number one thing that we must prepare for before we go to Jericho and see great victories in our life, we must receive the Lord's covenant. We must receive the Lord's covenant. Now, this method of circumcision, it made them identify with God. Now, they had an external surgery, but we that are saved have an internal surgery. In Colossians chapter number 2, here Paul is writing over this ordinance. And he says in verse number 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that unto the children of Israel, they were to practice this ordinance. And what had happened, when Moses told them to go in the land of Canaan, they rebelled. And Moses quit practicing this ordinance. For 40 years, that generation walked in a circle in that wilderness until they all died out. 40 years have passed now, and they had children. They had young men and ladies. And as they crossed over into Jordan, Joshua told them to put this identifying mark upon all the men, children, and all the men alike. I want to tell you this morning, no longer is this the knife of the flesh that is involved, but it is the Spirit of God that goes in a man's heart and cuts out that old fleshly heart and gives him a new heart by the good grace of God. I'm glad I've got a new heart this morning. I don't have a new head. I don't have a new hand. But thank God I've got a new heart. There was one day that God cut and trusted the Lord Jesus, and now my heart's no longer the same. I'm glad I've got an identifying mark on me by the Holy Ghost that identifies me with Christ this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Spirit of God went in my heart, cut away that old fleshly heart, and give me a heart of God in me this morning. Somebody said you can get saved without repentance. You can't do it. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be sorry of what you's doing and who you are. If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. God told them there in that verse, He said at Gilgal, this will be a place that I'll roll away the reproach off of you. I'm going to tell you, a lot of you, I believe with all my heart, as your pastor and as your preacher, I believe you're trying to fight spiritual battles, but there's never been a circumcision happen in your heart by the Spirit of God. In other words, you've never been saved. You're good people. And you want to do right, but you realize you just cannot win these spiritual battles. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't like things of the church. And you wonder why. I tell you what needs to happen. The Holy Ghost needs to do a work in your heart and put a new heart in your suit. And you'll enjoy the good things of God. He said, down at Gilgal, I'm going to roll away the reproach off of you. You see, He had got them out of Egypt, but now He had to get Egypt out of them. And I'm going to tell you, by the sword of the Spirit, boy, it's the sharpest knife in town. Boy, it cuts asunder. You ought to thank God you go to church, it still preaches the Bible. Makes no apology about what God wrote in His Bible. But still try to preach it right and with authority and the power of God. I sure am glad one day that God come by and did an internal work in my heart by His Spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, I make mistakes every day of my life, but I'm different. Something happened. He rolled off the approach of Egypt off of me by the Spirit of God. An old man began to preach out of a King James Bible. The Spirit of God went into my heart. I wonder this morning, why won't you be saved? You know, I don't think Brother Larry would mind one bit for me to say this. Me and Brother Mike could have this conversation about Brother Larry. Said, you know, Brother Larry would come down here. What many of you didn't even know, he had worked at this church on Saturday. He'd pick up trash in this parking lot. Brother Larry had probably been here, I imagine, 8 or 10 years on the sound of our preaching. But I'm glad one day after a funeral down in Burger King at Carrollton, Georgia, that somebody called to me across the parking lot and said, "Hey, preacher!" And I turned around, and here come old Brother Larry. And he said, "I want to tell you something." I've been a listening. And said, "Brother Mike preached Wednesday night." And said, "I've been a listening to what y'all got to say." And he said, "I'm ready for it, preacher. I'm ready to get saved." I said, "Well, why don't we get saved right here at Burger King?" He said, "Well, I want to go down your house. I'll meet you down there in a few minutes." And honey, it wasn't long. He walked in that little red barn down where I live. There was Larry. There was the Holy Ghost with the knife of circumcision. Went down in his heart. Done a work inside him. Now he walks in the foyer. He's not known as Larry now. It's Brother Larry. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that God still saves old sinners? Hallelujah. He walked in. This is what he said. "Preacher, it ain't Larry no more. It's Brother Larry." He went in the drive-thru, getting him a hamburger the next week, telling him what happened through the drive-in window. What happened, preacher? That's not religion. That's old-time salvation. Thank God He saved sinners this morning. Oh, I'm glad of the day that He rolled the reproach off of me in verse 9. He said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. The name of the place is called Gilgal this day. Now, can I ask you something as your preacher? Boy, I wish I had voice to preach this morning. Them folks in the Carolinas done killed me 3 nights. Matter of fact, if you'd holler and get excited about old time preaching, I may lose my voice more here. I want to ask you something. Has there been a Gilgal in your life? I'd hate to know. And let me tell you something. Matter of fact, I am saying it by way of radio this morning. I'll sit on the courthouse steps. There's a lot of good churches left in this county. But I'm glad I go to Liberty Baptist Church this morning. And I'm going to tell you something, people. It would be bad for you to attend a church like this and die and go to hell in your sin. That would be one of the awfulest things that had ever happened. As much Bible and as much gospel is preached in this place, and you miss heaven. I want to tell you today that God loves you. He loves you so that He sent His Son to die in your place. There was a young girl Wednesday night. She's being raised in the girl's home. There's a man there, Brother Mike, has a ministry. Now, I noticed after that I preached, they came down and got around this young lady. She got up and we went out to the meal. And she said, something happened to me tonight. God saved me. Isn't it amazing that God rescued this girl, didn't have a mom and daddy to take care of her, put her in a home to bring her under the sound of preaching, get her in the environment of godly living that she could be saved. Did you know God has highly favored you this morning to put you in a local church where they're still preaching the Bible, right? Where they say that Jesus died for all and we're saved by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus. Will wash away all of your sins, that God loves you if you'll come to Him by His Son. And if you'd come, He'd no wise cast you out. Why wouldn't you want to be saved? Young person, there was a young man killed a few weeks ago in our county. Very young man. Young lady, I seen a time when this church, if we had the other wing on here this morning, would not have held the people in seating capacity because they come to a young cheerleader that was killed in a curve not far from this church. 16 years old, thought sure she had her whole life in front of her. But you know what, young people? Just because you're young don't mean you'll live to your old. And you know what, Liberty Baptist Church, you wouldn't have much of a preacher if I didn't tell you that right this morning. There's a heaven to gain and it's a hell to shun. And I'm glad one day that God sent His Son to die on the cross that I could go free. And when I heard the gospel, it was a great and a glorious day when God come out of the sword of the Spirit and did a work on my heart and rolled away the reproach of Egypt off of me. Now guess what? I'm a child of God. And I'm going to live forever in heaven. Let me tell you what. I'm going to be real honest with you this morning. The last Sunday, I didn't much care if I died or not. But this Sunday, I'm wanting to live this season because I ain't seen my grandbabies all week. And I'll be honest with you, I was a-chomping at the bits to see you this morning. Now, I've got here and I don't have the physical ability to do what I want to do today. But I really don't want to go this evening. But I want to say this, I'm ready to go. I'm not a-wondering where I'd land. There's a land that is fairer than day. Oh, I'm glad I know that I'm a-going to that city because it's been a heavenly work done in my heart and on my soul. My heavenly Joshua took a nap of the Word of God and He has created a new heart in this preacher this morning. I'm glad He's rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Number two, and I'll be done because I want to save the third and for tonight. Number two, not only must we realize this ordinance, not only do we receive this Lord's covenant, and by the way, by the covenant of Jesus, we're going to heaven if we've trusted Him to be our Savior. And so we receive the Lord's covenant. He said, now listen, matter of fact, a lot of scholars got on Moses because he did not make them perform this exercise. Matter of fact, they had to have this surgery performed on them before that covenant was placed on them. I'm glad I'm in the covenant this morning. Oh, Lord, not the covenant of the Baptist, but the covenant of heavenly Joshua that's rolled the reproach of the world out of my heart and did an operation by the Spirit of God. But number two, he tells them something else that they must do that they hadn't done for 38 years. When they got over Jordan, they got in the promised land. Before they had great victory in Jericho, this is what they were told. It's found in verse number 10. The Bible said, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month of even the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn of the land on the Marah. After the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. What happened, God let them cross Jordan into the Canaanites' territory. And I read to you in Joshua 5, verse 1, how the king's hearts melted because of them. You know what they did? They left all their fields of grain in the harvest time. They left all their barns full of wheat and corn. And they left everything and they went in Jericho and they've shut it up. You know why? Because they're scared to death of the people of God. God said, now, guess what? You've got over the land of Canaan. I want you to go to eating corn. I want you to go enjoying the old corn of the land. Now, I want you to look what He does. The Bible said that they, in verse 11, they ate of the parched corn the selfsame day. And in verse 12, and the manna ceased on the Marah after that eating of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now I want to say this today. Too many of us have the appetites of things in our past. But did you notice God told them to eat of the old corn of the land? And when they did that day, the Bible said, tomorrow the manna ceased. Now you that studied the Bible, you know what He's saying. Did you know that 6 days a week He rained manna out of heaven? A little round piece of wafer looking that had provided them nourishment for the journey. God had been taking care of His people for all those years by raining the manna out of heaven. But He said, now you've got in the land of Canaan. He said, now you've done got over some things and you're in the promised land. He said, I want you to go to eating different. He said, you go to eating the corn of the land and enjoying the good things of God. And then the manna ceased. Isn't that amazing that God didn't stop the manna yesterday and gave them corn tomorrow? That's just like our good God. He don't break nothing in on us suddenly, but it gives us grace to be able to adjust in the transition. I'm glad when He said you need to be eating of the old corn of the land. What is that? Did you know when that corn went in the ground that it died and then it sprang forth and gave life? It's a great representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went in the ground, but honey, on the third day, He got up and He rose to the resurrection of life. And He said, now you that are living in Canaan, you ought to be feeding off the spiritual things of Christ as you walk through this land. He said, I don't want you to be wanting the food of the past, the dirty movies, the dirty language, the alcohol, the weed. He said, you need to leave all that stuff that you've been eating on back in the wilderness, that I'll give you something a lot better in the land of Canaan. Boy, this flesh loves to go back after the things that we used to do. But God said, I've brought you into this place, and this is what I want you to do. He says, as you eat this corn of the land, I want you to do something now. I want you simply, and I want you to read it in the Word of God. After we eat this corn of the land, look what He says, and I'm going to be done. The Bible said in verse number 12, and the manna, or in verse number 11, they did eat the old corn of the land on the Marah after the Passover. of unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. He said, not only do I want you to receive the Lord's covenant, but I want you to remember the Lord's goodness. They had not practiced the Passover for 38 years. And God said, I tell you one thing, for you're going to ever win any battles, you better realize how you got here. That was the Passover by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said that Joshua was the son of Nun. Through Bible study, I have found out that he was the oldest child of Nun. Nun came out of Egypt. He experienced the Passover. And simply Joshua knew about the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost. And this is what God said. God told Pharaoh about this Passover. He sent him 9 plagues. He sent him swarms of flies to let the people go. He put frogs in everything he had. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let you go. He turned their water to blood in the town. He said, I'm not going to let you go. He killed all their livestock many nights. He said, I'm not going to let you go. But God come to Moses. This is what he said on this 10th and final plague. He said, I want you to tell the people in that town to take a lamb, put that blood over the doorpost and on the 2 side lintels of that door. And he said, I'm going to come to town at that midnight. He said, and when I see the blood, this is what he said, I will pass over you. And you know something? He said, anybody that's not under that blood, he said, the firstborn male of that house is going to die, all the way to the cattle. And this is what he said, even from Pharaoh's palace down to the pauper in prison, when I come through this town and I don't see the blood, you're going to lose something in every household that's here. And the Bible said there were cries in Egypt that night like they'd never heard before or has never heard again. And there was Joshua in the house with his daddy Nun and Miss Nun. And there's no doubt when that clock struck the midnight hour, and there he was alive. Aren't you glad they rejoiced? They remembered the good hand of God that had brought them out and kept them alive. Let me tell you something at Liberty Baptist Church this morning. You may be able to get over your tithe money. You may be able to get over your service for the Lord. You may be able to get over how many verses you can quote. But don't you never get over the day that the Lord saved you. And he says, before you'll ever experience a victory in your Jericho, you better remember what the Lord's done for you. He said, now have the Passover. You know what? That was a great representation, Brother Jake, to the New Testament. It is as the Lord's Supper. Now, as we practice the Lord's Supper in this dispensation of grace, we believe that there are simply 2 ordinances in the local church in the day we live. Water baptism to be immersed, and 2, the Lord's Supper. We practice those ordinances as a New Testament church. And every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know what we're doing? We're remembering about the blood of the Lamb. That when God sent His Son to die for you and to die for me. And God said, let me tell you something. Ain't none of you go into Jericho and experience any victories until you partake of the Passover and realize what God has done for you. I want to say something, church. God's been good to us. And I want to say this. I don't know what to do, really, with a song this morning. I tell you what I'd like to do. Brother Michael, you and Miss Tara, I want y'all to come back. I want y'all to sing this song again for invitation this morning. It touched my heart, and I appreciate that. But I want to say this about this Passover today. You've got to look around, and you've got to agree with this preacher about something. In the church that I was in this last week, I've got to say it there because I did say it. God's been extra special to good to us, and God's been extra special good to them at Bethel Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you something, if God never done anything for us in ministry, all we could do is say, Lord, thank you that you saved me. And he says, I want you to realize before you ever go and experience any victories in your life over across Jordan, he said, I want you to realize that you've got to be saved The Spirit of God's got to do a work in your heart. You know, you used to hear a lot of preachers talk about the Spirit of God convicting sinners, drawing them. Did you know the Bible says that you can't even come in the Lord unless He deals with your heart? Do you know the Bible teaches that? Did you know the Bible says you must be born again by the Spirit of God? The Spirit's got to do a work in your heart. God said before you'll ever experience any victories, you've got to be saved. And He said, number two, before you'll ever experience any victories, you better remember what I've done for you back there. I remember what a preacher told me, Brother David, and you know him. This is what he said. He said, there's going to come a time in your life, Ken, that you're going to lose your shout, you're going to lose your tears. And I'm glad by the grace of God, Brother Mike, I ain't lost either one this morning. I know, Brother Tim, what God's done for me. I told him it was so devastating this week when I got saved. Renee was stirring a thing of beans on the oven. Brother Larry, God looked at Renee nearly 30 years ago, and He said, you're going to be a preacher's wife. Daniel, you know what she said? Well, what you going to do with Ken? Brother Jesse, that's how far away I was. But Brother Joe, God come by one Saturday. Done a work in my heart by the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, how'd that happen? He got me lost. He showed me I was lost and I was undone without Jesus and I needed a Savior. Oh, I'd been baptized, but I'd never been saved. Have you ever been saved? Do you know there's a time that the Spirit of God's done a work in your heart? Put in a soft heart in you and you're a new creature in Christ? And then He said, I want you to practice that ordinance. And He said, church, I don't want you to never forget. He said, when you sang songs about amazing grace, I even want you to throw your hand up and remember, thank you, Lord, for saving me that great Passover by the blood. Church, don't forget what God did to get us here. Don't get over it because it cost God everything He had. I've asked Brother Eric and them to sing a song that I noticed that Gold City sung, and I took a picture of it with my phone this week and sent to Brother Eric. I want to learn it. This is what it says. Isn't it amazing that a king would leave everything he had, turn his back on heaven and come here and be born of a virgin woman, walk around in this world and go up onto a cross for one reason, because he loved you. And he loved me. That, folks, if that right there ought to not make us praise him, I don't know what ever make us praise him. God has saved us by the blood of his darling son. And he said, I want you to perform this Passover feast, and I don't want you to forget about what I've done for you. It'd do some of you good this morning. You know what, as the pastor of this church, what bothers me to see people quit coming to the altar, quit being faithful. Quit being thankful, saying, well, God, we're saved. Well, when's the last time you thanked Him for being saved? When's the last time you told somebody you got saved? He said, I'm going to tell you this, for you'll ever experience any victories down at Jericho, you got to be saved and you got to remember that you got saved. And practice this ordinance in your life. I wonder this morning now, they're fixing to sing. I want to say this as an invitation. If you're lost and undone without Jesus, you can be saved today if you'd come. Just as those did this week, you know what? Just as those that practiced that ordinance by Joshua, they had to allow that to happen by faith. You see, we're saved by grace through faith, nothing else. God's already paid the price with His Son. But I wonder, would you access that faith that He's given you this morning? Maybe some of you want to gather around this altar as they sing. Start maybe anew with this Passover ordinance and say, Lord, I want to remember today how good You've been to me. Young and y'all sang, just mind Him today.